USA Radio News with Rich Strong.
Another ugly scene outside a Donald Trump rally. Violence in San Jose as protesters fought with Trump supporters, burning their hats and tearing up Trump banners. Protesters hit one woman in the face with raw eggs. One police officer assaulted and several arrests. Meanwhile, top Democrats are reportedly trying to nudge Bernie Sanders out of the race before California's primary in 4 days. This where Hillary Clinton's lead has slipped in the latest field poll.
Currently showing Clinton leading 45% to 43%. Actually, that's within the margin of error, so it's literally a toss-up.
Clinton had led by as many as 11 points in California in January.
In April, she was leading by 6. So this two-point advantage, again, represents a tightening in the race.
This is USA Radio News.
QL1, this is Control. Ground crew is secure. Over.
Copy that, Control. Rocket's powering up. Over.
QL1, this is Control. Does Rocket Mortgage require me to fill out a bunch of paperwork?
Negative, Control. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans is the first on-demand mortgage machine that quickly and seamlessly imports your financial data. You can go through the entire mortgage approval process in minutes.
Copy that, QL1. That is fast, like rocket fast. Do you think that's why they named it Rocket Mortgage? Over.
Affirmative, Control. That's probably why they named it Rocket Mortgage. It also works on any internet-ready device, so you can get a Rocket Mortgage at any time or place you choose.
Roger that, QL1. So technically speaking, you could get a Rocket Mortgage at rocket speed from inside an actual rocket?
Please just press the button, Control. Over.
Copy that, QL1.
3, 2, 1.
Rocket Mortgage at QuickenLoans.com. Push button. Get mortgage.
Rocket.
Visit for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org number 3030.
Muhammad Ali may be in worse shape than we knew. He remains hospitalized in Phoenix. A London newspaper now reports his children have rushed to his bedside. He is being treated for a respiratory condition that's part of the Parkinson's disease he has suffered since the 1980s. In Japan, a boy is found alive after being missing for a week.
A missing 7-year-old boy was found unharmed after searchers spent nearly a week combing dense forest on the northern Japanese island of Hokkaido. He was discovered in a small building at a military exercise ground about 2.5 miles from the spot where he was left alone at the roadside for a short time by his parents for being naughty. His father apologized to the community for his excessive behavior and told his son he was sorry. For USA Radio News, I'm Tammy Rose.
Breaking news on the web at westernjournalism.com. This is USA Radio News.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You've messed up your daughter's haircut. Do you A, get spiritual?
Mom, where's the mirror?
Beauty is within. Oh.
B, find the positives.
Less time blow drying, more time texting?
Or C, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have to.
Twinsies!
I kinda love it. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on adoption, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Was Einstein wrong on one thing? USA Radio's Chris Barnes.
For those of us who are not scientific geniuses, this may be hard to get our arms around, but we'll give it a shot. Astronomers say the universe is expanding faster than scientists had predicted. NASA and the European Space Agency both announcing that the universe's rate of expansion is now 5 to 9% faster than previously believed. The initial prediction was made based on radiation that was left over from the Big Bang. While the new findings could be explained by unknown matter that can travel at the speed of light, but NASA says the discovery could also be an indication that Albert Einstein's general theory of relativity is a little bit off. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
And we may have another tropical storm coming. That story from Randy Bell.
Forecasters will be monitoring the Gulf of Mexico this weekend, where an area of low pressure could be forming, possibly becoming the third tropical storm of the season in a few days.
We're ready. We'll be watching it through the weekend and putting out advisories as need be.
Mississippi Emergency Management Director Lee Smithson says it's another indication that this could be a busy hurricane season, but this weather system may not be a problem for us.
There's actually going to be a cold front that'll move through our area in Mississippi on Sunday anyway.
Joanne Kulin at the National Weather Service in Jackson says a tropical system may wind up improving our weather. Randy Bell in Jackson.
And I'm Richard Strong, USA Radio News.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Hi, guys. It's the sports, and so far, sports is Pat Smits today. I know that John is not going to be with us. He's on his way or is in Boston, but I was expecting Bill and hopefully Ken, but I know Ken has been very busy working overtime lately, so let's hope that Bill gets here so you don't have to just listen to me. But before we start, what's happening on the weather? For all you sports guys, I call the gals sports guys too. So today, June 3rd, let's look at the weekend. Tonight and today we've been having a lot of showers off and on. Tonight, slight chance of showers and then patchy fogs, so be careful out there. Into Saturday, foggy in the morning, then it should be partly sunny. About 83 degrees, so it should actually clear up tomorrow and be a nice day. Think about going to the community day at the fairgrounds in Hunterdon. It should be a fun time, especially to take kids. There's a lot of activities that are going on out there for the kids this weekend. So how about the rest of the weather? Well, I'm glad community day isn't on Sunday because it's really going to be should be pretty miserable on Sunday, 70% chance of heavy rain, not just showers, but really heavy rain. And there showers are likely, and then there's possibility of thunderstorms. That should be in the morning. Then also throughout the day, actually, before 9 a.m. and then after 9 a.m. And some of these, some of it could be really heavy rain at times. And then expect to be cloudy, high, perhaps 78 degrees. Not a good day. Sunday night, again, 70% chance of heavy rain. And into Monday in the morning, and then mostly sunny Monday. So, day to get out there is tomorrow. And think about going to the community day. It should be a fun time, a very inexpensive way to get out, do things with the kids. I think the, one of the things the kids love are the reptiles. There will be reptiles there tomorrow. Let me see if I can figure out when. I think the, yeah, the reptile show is at 1 p.m., 3 p.m., 5 p.m. Also pony rides, petting zoo, the British invasion tribute will be live music from 2:30 to 5:30. And there'll be food and music and games. There's also a shredding event, meaning you can bring your important papers that you want to get rid of but should not throw away. They will be shredded, and that's sponsored by the county clerk between 1 and 5 p.m. Now, they say limited quantity, so in other words, don't fill a pickup truck and you know, bring it down, but certainly reasonable amounts of shredding will be done. So there's going to be a lot of activities tomorrow. And so what's happening in sports? Well, as I said, I was hoping that, you know, one or more of the guys would be here because, frankly, one of the things I did want to, you know, ask them is to see who would be able to guess about some of the baseball salaries. We're certainly into baseball now, and I'm not, I followed it years ago, but really I'm not someone who really is following it. So I was pretty astonished when I read about some of the salaries, and I was hoping to see whether I could trick the guys. Maybe I'll do something along the lines next week. For example, I was surprised to see, and I was a follower of the Cubs, but we certainly know, not surprisingly, John Lester, their pitcher, is the highest paid player on the Chicago Cubs, and he earns $25,000. I'm sorry. Yeah, $25,000. $25 million a year. And I guess Jason Hayward, he's going to be second, and he's the right fielder for the Cubs, and he's going to be earning, and it's interesting how they negotiate these things, but usually it's a round number, but Jason is earning $19,555,288. So not sure how they do that. But then the Cubs have six players who are earning more than $10,000. And I have John is in Boston. Bill is here. And so, Bill, welcome to the Sports Guys. I'm glad you're here, and I'm going to give you a little quiz today.
A quiz for me?
Yes.
Wow, it's 5 o'clock, and I've had a rough week, and now I get a quiz.
You're going to get a quiz.
So you know what Pat Benatar liked to say?
What's that?
Hit me with your best shot.
All right. Well, you love baseball.
You bet I do.
So I want to see what you know about baseball salaries.
About baseball what?
Salaries.
Salaries. Well, so, hit me with your best shot.
Okay. So, how about, unless you heard me when you walked in, who are the two highest paid Chicago Cubs? Oh, he's thinking.
I'm thinking.
He's thinking. Since I wasn't going to give you an easy one to start out.
Boy, that's tough because I don't know that I can really name too many guys on the Chicago Cubs.
All right. So
go ahead. So I'm going to give up on that one.
Okay. Well, would you be surprised to hear that they have six guys who make more than $10 million a year?
Well, that's more than the president, but I guess they've had a better year than him.
Well, and let me ask you, because this one surprised me. Know anything about the Arizona Diamondbacks?
Just a little.
Well, who do you think their highest paid player? Really astonishing as far as I think he may be the highest paid player on any team.
I can't say. I just don't know. You got me there, Pat.
Yep. Well, we'll have to do this with John.
John probably
John
knows.
He knows all of this.
I like balls and strikes. I don't care about how much they make.
Well, how about, is it Zach Greinke?
Zach Greinke is Greinke. I thought he was with the Dodgers, though.
Well, did they trade him?
Maybe they did. Is he now with the Diamondbacks?
As of 2016, unless they traded him.
I guess he is. Well, Zach Greinke was a pitcher with the Dodgers, excellent pitcher, but they've got to be paying him about $12 million a year.
How about $31,799 and $31,799,030.
And $30. Just what does he do with the $30?
The funny thing is most of the players are paid in round numbers, but every once in a while there's somebody who has some little amount on this. And so which team come on now, don't cheat now. Don't go on your telephone. So how about highest Philadelphia Philly player? That one shouldn't be too hard.
Oh, that's probably Ryan Howard.
Good. And now, why would you think that Ryan Howard is worth $25 million a year?
Because the Ruben Amaro, the general manager, had a brain freeze. That's the only thing I can think of. Ryan Howard, who is a very good, dependable ball player for the Phillies and played well at first base for a long, long time, is at the end of his career, in my humble opinion. He's been around a long time, but he's one of those leftovers from the year, like 2009, when the Phillies won a pennant and lost in the World Series to the Yankees. And Ryan Howard was a pretty big contributor during that season. But that was 6-7 years ago. And, they're paying him, they paid him a huge salary to keep him, not realizing that he was really on the downslope of his career. They did the same thing with Chase Utley and a number of the other Phillies. Jason Wirth, they decided not to keep. And I think he went to Washington and then eventually the Boston Red Sox.
Well, we always thought that, or I always thought that the Yankees, paid the most money. But let's say about team payrolls. Any idea who are the top team 2016 team play? Payrolls, the total payrolls?
I think it's probably the Dodgers because when they were acquired by a group, they also leveraged a huge television contract, which I think is like $40 or $50 billion a year or over a period of years. And so they knew that they needed to put some really good content, really good players on the field so that they could justify the amount that they were being paid by the cable network that they were creating.
Well, actually, that's a very good guess, and the Dodgers are a close second to the Yankees because the total Yankee payroll is $222,997,792. And the Dodgers is $222,145,522. So they're within, less than, $1 million apart.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about the – so you have the Yankees at almost $223 million and the Tampa Bay Rays – their team is the lowest payroll. Any idea what the difference is between the top team payroll and the bottom team payroll?
Oh, it's got to be $40 or $50 million. I'm just taking a guess.
Yeah, even more than that. The
wow.
Tampa Bay Rays, their total payroll is just slightly more than $57 million.
Really?
Yeah, between So, you know, we always thought in the Midwest that the Yankees had an advantage because they had these huge payrolls. And it is true. Now, John's Boston Red Sox, their payroll is a little less than $192 million. So that's still quite a difference between the Yankees. So the first Yankees are one, Dodgers two, Detroit Tigers are three, and then the Boston Red Sox are four. And then the Texas Rangers, San Francisco Giants, and you kind of go down from there. But
so who has the lowest payroll? Probably the Padres.
No, I said the Tampa Bay
Rays. Oh, the Tampa Bay Rays, right. As you said. Where are the Padres in that? Because they're having a terrible year. And so are the Braves.
Well, the Padres are at $101,400,000, a little more than $400,000. So, and you mean the Milwaukee Brewers or the Atlanta Braves?
Atlanta Braves.
Okay, the Atlanta Braves are. Let me see where they are. Oh yeah, they're second to the bottom.
Really?
Yep, they're $69 million.
Hmm.
And the Tampa Bay Rays, $57 million. So they're really paying a lot less. So anyway, we can do more of this next week, but I just thought that wanted to see you guys who, you know, are not only sports fanatics, but, you know, I thought this would be right there on the top of your, you know, money. You like money. You file bankruptcy cases. You have to see and deal with money all the time.
Well, that is true. We do see problems with money all the time. The really sad thing is when you read about somebody who's a professional athlete who's made lots and lots of money and then unfortunately has burned through it and needs to file. And not because they've had, say, like a criminal justice problem like a Lenny Dykstra or a Michael Vick, but because they just haven't been careful. And remember, these are young men suddenly hit with a lot of money. And, you know, I would like to say there, but for the grace of God, go I. But because I know at 21 I would have been very foolish with money.
And they also have a lot of hanger-on. I mean, if they can get someone who is really a good money manager and recognizes that, you know, their careers can be very short. As you know, I'm much more familiar with football and the number of years the average football player, if they make the NFL, plays. And, it's really very short. They have very short careers. And
That's true. The careers are very short. I think the NFL is the shortest
careers
because it's such a collision sport.
And I'm assuming that baseball is even longer than hockey. An interesting issue, but I think that is part of the problem. All of a sudden, so many of these kids, and they come from families who don't have a lot of money, especially in football, and you know, it looks like it's never going to end. Mm-hmm. And there aren't many players who go on after their career and are like the Michael Strahan, who is, you know, went from,
you know, on television.
He's on
he?
Television. He's you know, he's and others have good endorsements. Very few of them, when you think about it, very few really end up in broadcasting. Many of them think that's what they're going to be doing, but they're only that minute that, you know, with the 24/7, we think we're watching football and all the time and other sports all the time, but there really aren't that many sportscasters who, you know, really make it.
And, you know, it's quite a change. I had a high school geometry teacher who was also the baseball coach at Hunterdon Central many, many years ago, late 60s. And he had been a pitcher in the Phillies minor league system. And that was his summer job while he was in college training to be a teacher. And he got a teaching degree. He advanced to double A ball, he said. And he said the difference between double A ball and triple A ball, where you could be in the majors the next morning, is like night and day.
Hmm.
And he said once you get into double-A ball. And that was at a time where before baseball had really expanded. So maybe there were only eight teams in each league. He said the competition was ferocious. And he said you really had to be talented to get out of double-A ball. And he had played ball in college. He had in the I think he went to a small college in Pennsylvania, and you know, the Phillies had been keeping an eye on him since high school, where he had been a terrific pitcher out in someplace in central Pennsylvania. But he said that being in the minor leagues, you're a young guy, it's exciting, but it was also grueling because you could have 10-hour bus rides.
Right.
You know, stay someplace in some crummy motel for 4 days and then have another 10-hour bus ride.
You know, what he did, and it's different than so many of these guys, and, you know, coming from the Midwest, I think every town had a ball player, a baseball player who, you know, was phenomenal
mm-hmm.
for the town. And everybody thought, very often pitchers, but everybody thought that they would really be able to go on. But when you look at the statistics, at least your teacher was a smart guy. He went to college
mm-hmm.
instead of just focusing his entire career on trying to make it in baseball. He had a, you know, something else that he could do, still use the baseball. And I think that is, you know, a lot of these guys don't. I remember when I was at the University of Wisconsin, I had a very good friend, and he actually was playing for the Denver Broncos.
Oh, wow.
And but he had not finished college, and so he would come back the second semester, and he'd be able to play football. Those were the days, obviously, before the Broncos were going into the playoffs
mm-hmm.
and before, you know, before the Super Bowl, actually. Well, no, I guess it wasn't before the Super Bowl. But anyway, the Broncos were not that good. And he would come back, and he would go to college the second semester because he felt that, and he knew that his professional career was going to be short-lived. And, of course, back then, I wish I remember what he was paid, because I know he told me. But they weren't paid that much.
No, they would make maybe $300 or $400 a week, or maybe $900 a month, and they would get $10 a day to eat on.
No, no, they got more than that in
oh,
the
really?
Profession. In NFL?
Oh, in the NFL,
yeah.
Thinking about baseball.
No, 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 the NFL. I mean, but they, I remember Amon Green, who was one of my favorite Green Bay Packers. I think his first year starting salary was something like $250,000, which sounds like a lot when he started. But, you know, when you think about it, it really, if you're only going to play ball for 3, 4, 5 years, it's really not. Now, he obviously went on to earn a lot more. But I remember when I first saw his initial starting salary, it didn't seem like, you know, that much money. So, and the big, I know my friend said the big problem is you don't know how long you're going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And you still don't. I mean, the kids coming out today, it'll be interesting to see even what happens and, you know, how many of these guys who were drafted in the first, second, third round, fourth round are still there, you know, when they have to cut the rosters.
That's right. That's right. Sports has become so expensive for the average person to see, even to see on TV with the creation of these sports networks, that you really have to wonder just how sustainable this economic structure is going to be. I think a lot of it is driven by television and by cable networks. But I know to go to a Yankee game, you're looking at least $250.
Yeah, that's, you know, it really is a shame because
you know,
I don't
for
see.
For a seat in the lower level.
I have no idea what it costs and what for the dollar, what the dollar is worth today. But I can't think that going to, especially baseball, was that expensive. I mean,
mm-hmm.
when, You know,
it used to be
good
cheap entertainment. Remember, Pat, baseball was, first of all, they played over 154 games when I was a kid, and now I think it's 162 games. So, and the stadiums are not always filled. And if you watch the Yankees on television, unless it's a big game that's really crucial and the Yankees are doing well, you're going to see a lot of empty, very fancy seats.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I haven't been to the new Yankee Stadium yet, but I hear it's beautiful.
Well, I've heard a lot of people gave up their season tickets because of the cost.
Oh, yeah. It's very high. I mean, to I was about 5 years ago given tickets by a client to go see the Jets host the Green Bay Packers. The first time I saw Aaron Rodgers play, as a matter of fact. And, you know, these were great seats. They were in a corner of the end zone in a lower bowl. It was absolutely wonderful watching the game. Unfortunately, neither team was able to score a touchdown, although San Antonio Holmes did manage to catch a ball, but he had both feet out of the end zone. But that ticket was $150. And I'm saying to myself, supposing you are the average football fan, and supposing you want to take the 9-year-old child who is the apple of your eye, you're spending at least $300 just to walk in. And then you are probably spending at least another $30 or $40 on food and probably a souvenir. So, you know, that's for a lot of people, that's starting to approach maybe half a week's pay.
Well, it's interesting because now, and I've talked about this before, I don't know what the regular seats at the least expensive seats at Lambeau are, but I do know that the seats, remember when the Brown County residents agreed to be taxed in order to do the renovations on Lambeau, there's a certain section of that is set aside for Brown County residents. And as I recall, I think those tickets are about $70.
That's a reasonable ticket. Yeah.
But even that is not cheap. And I do also remember the first few times that I went to Giants Stadium, what was so amazing to me is it was apparent to me that a lot of corporations had bought tickets, blocks of tickets. And you could see it was such a difference between looking at the people in Giants Stadium and what I always think of as the true diehard fans at Lambeau. Because, as I said, Lambeau people have had tickets. Not that there aren't some corporate tickets. There are. And a lot of what's very interesting in Wisconsin is when they first opened up Lambeau in 57, I believe it was 57, a lot of the bars would buy a group of tickets, or families would. And, of course, now those tickets are being passed down. So the family tickets are really interesting because, you know, if somebody had four kids, they may have had four tickets initially, and now they might have had four kids. So the next generation.
But now they may have 16 great-grandchildren.
Well, or even grandchildren. So it as these tickets are getting passed down, it's interesting how, you know, they're jockeying for which games. Because remember, at Lambeau, unless you had tickets both in Milwaukee and Green Bay, you don't have season tickets the way most people think of season tickets. So it is, you know, it is interesting. And
it fascinates me, the economics of sports. As an aside, our bankruptcy petition changed format on December 1, and we got our new forms about 20 days beforehand, and I started to get familiar with them. And one of the questions that they asked on the asset list was, do you have any other valuable assets, including sports tickets?
Really?
Season tickets to sporting events.
Whoa.
The bankruptcy trustees need to know that because they are an asset. So, and
well, actually,
could certainly
they
be
are.
Turned. Yeah. I mean,
well, Pat, they. But wait a minute.
What do season tickets cost to go, say, see the Jets or the Giants in a market like New York? Or take a small market team, perhaps like Cleveland. You know, not a big city, but certainly not a small one. Definitely an NFL town because Cleveland's been, I think, had the Cleveland Browns for umpty-ump years. You know.
But wait a minute. Let me ask you.
It's pricey.
Well, but let me ask you, although that could be an asset, you know, kind of so what? Because it's if they turn in the tickets or if they don't renew the tickets, you know, the bankruptcy can't – I mean, the bankruptcy trustee can't do anything in the next year. They'll just lose – person would just lose the tickets,
well,
right?
What would happen is because sometimes with these tickets goes the personal seating license, which essentially is a privilege to buy the ticket, which somebody may have paid $5,000 per seat for. I mean, I remember the Jets were asking a lot of money. And I'm using the Jets as an example because mm-hmm. I am a Jets fan and I enjoy watching them. But
you're a glutton for punishment.
Oh, hey. When you know, it's sort of like Philly, but not Philly. But you know, the Jets are becoming a better team as long as they don't make Geno Smith be their quarterback this year, which we should talk about that in a few minutes. But you know, you've got a personal seat license that maybe somebody spent $10,000 for, mm-hmm. And then you've got season tickets, and maybe you've got three or four of them, four seats, and you know, because typically you don't just buy one ticket for the season. You might buy a block of four because let's say you're taking your friends or family. So, and let's say each ticket is $500 for a really good seat. Let's say a 40-yard line seat in the lower bowl. So you're talking $2,000 per game plus the seating licenses. And then you're going to see eight games, you know, mm-hmm. and maybe an exhibition game or two. I think they have four exhibition games, so maybe you're going to see 10 games altogether because I know they make you buy them. So
right.
You're talking a significant amount of money, and that has value. But you know, once the final gun has gone off at the end of the game, the ticket has no value except maybe as a souvenir, it's worth a couple of bucks.
So in other words, what you're saying is anybody who has season tickets, NFL tickets, they have to – one of the big strategies is when they file bankruptcy because they're certainly not going to file in August. They're better off filing in February.
After they've gotten to see all
the games.
Has tanked, you know.
Well, let me ask you, though. Let's assume someone files during the – this is getting – see – Bill and I like both legal and sports. So let's get the legal sports question. So you file, let's say, in October. So what's the trustee going to do? I mean, are they going to be able to move quickly enough to do anything?
You bet. Here's why. Look at things like StubHub. Look at things like all of the other secondary ticket marketing websites that there are out there. I tried to get tickets for a... I think it was Eagles-Packers a couple of years ago. I forget exactly when. And I called a friend of mine who has Eagles season tickets, and he said, you know, I can't sell you any of mine because they're all committed to the group of guys I go with and gals. But go on StubHub. Because the closer it gets to the game, the more likely it is that somebody can't go and they're going to be selling tickets. And this is NFL sanctioned, so you know you're going to get mm-hmm. a real ticket. You're going to, you know, and you get a printed electronic ticket and you go. Well, that's fine. I had gone to a Flyers game a couple of years ago, and we had wanted to get tickets so we could sit in the lower bowl, and we were going to, you know, sit behind the penalty box because that's what my brother-in-law wanted to do, and it was going to be his 65th birthday. So I called the Flyers, and I had been a season ticket holder in the upper level for about 20 years. And I shared a group plan, and I was one of the people on the plan. But I wasn't going to go to this game because it was going to be somebody else who had the right to my nosebleed level seats. So they tried to help me out, and I got a call back saying, we don't have anything available, but go on. And it was like StubHub or one mm-hmm. of those sites. And sure enough, there were tickets, and the $175 ticket or whatever it was, we were able to get a pair of them for $135.
Wow. But it must have been close to the game, because one of the things that we can't do that, because if we're going to make flight reservations,
you don't want to try to make
flight reservations at the last minute because it's going to be so expensive. But, you know, you're right. There are, and I know there are brokers in Green Bay, for example, that people, in fact, I'm sure some of the Brown County residents sell their tickets. They go in the lottery, they get them, they don't really want them for themselves. But, and it is true that if you can wait till the last minute, it's better. I remember, though, once sitting in Green Bay, trying to remember what year it was, we were at a playoff game. I think it was a playoff game against Seattle. And as a result of winning that game, the Packers were going to play Philadelphia. And I immediately made a call to someone. And, you know, tickets for that playoff game in Philadelphia were running $600.
Wow.
A ticket. And that was a few years ago. So needless to say, we did not go to that game. But that's a problem. I mean, there are some places where, you know, people will just pay any amount of money.
Well, you know, my late father being a student of history and of economics, and talking about that wonderful word that I think I could never quite figure out exactly what it meant, was, I think, dialectic materialism. I still don't know what that word means. It might as well be in Chinese for all I know. But he said that things are cyclical. The pendulum swings one way, and then it swings another. First, prices are high on a commodity, and then prices are low, just like the price of gasoline and its supply and demand. We have a tremendous amount of demand created for professional sports.
Well, I think there's a lot of demand for just fun activities. I mean, think about it. You know, I just happened, there was a B.W. Nice fashion show and luncheon. And but what's also going on right now are the proms. Well, you know, you can't get an appointment to get your hair cut or styled. I mean, all of the girls going to prom, they're, you know, nails and hair and prom dresses, and I mean, they're just, and I'm not being critical. I'm just saying that the mentality today is really different. And I think that, especially for young people, you know, they want more fun activities. They want something to do. Not that there aren't those of us who are old who love sports and probably are, you know, diehard sports fans, but there's a point where, as much as I wanted to see that Philadelphia game, I was not going to spend $1,200 for Dave and I to do it.
Oh, absolutely not.
You know, I mean, it was just, okay, at that point, we'll watch television. Now, on the other hand, if we can get reasonable price tickets, will we, you know, pay for a flight to Wisconsin, pay for a rental car, pay for an expensive hotel because they really jack up the rates, increase the rates during football weekends in Green Bay. And, you know, is that really expensive? Yes. Would I do it for 8 games a season if I had the money? Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess it's what's important to us.
You know, it's what's important to you. If you had unlimited wealth and you had the time, certainly you do whatever you want. Let me put it this way. Yankee Stadium. I love being there. I think it's wonderful. Do I like going there? No. You take the subway or you have to drive. And I don't like driving on the Major Deegan Expressway. I've never liked it. It's always congested, especially before a ball game. And I think Major Deegan must not have been a war hero. He must have been a traitor because so many people are cursing when they're on the Major Deegan that I think somebody played a very bad joke on whoever Major Deegan was. Because I've sat in traffic. I've left for a 1 o'clock ball game on the mid-afternoon, midweek. You wouldn't expect it to be too bad. And I would leave my house at 9:30.
Oh, my goodness.
Get there early, get a good parking spot. Well, we got on the Major Deegan, and it was about 11 o'clock, and we crawled. First pitch was 1 o'clock. We were sitting in our seats and settling down when the visiting team had made their third out.
Okay.
So we just sat and sat and sat. But, you know, Pat, we should hit some commercials.
Well, we're going to do that. And but one more comment. I think maybe that simply shows that some senators in some states are more powerful, because I can tell you, we went to a playoff game in Arizona, and we must have gotten to the stadium 2 hours early. I mean, it was, the highways were unbelievably, I mean, they were just unbelievable. And it was so easy getting into that stadium. I hate the stadium, but I mean, the point is, if you drive around the roads in places like Arizona, you know that they had some good senators at getting pork back in Arizona.
Well, can you imagine the difficulty if President Obama decides he wants to go to the Bears opening day game? Soldier Field, I've never been to, but it is an older stadium.
Hard to get to.
But it's hard to get to.
Oh, yeah.
So can you imagine if the president decides that that's what he wants to do? And, well, you know, it's towards the end of his second term. He's the president of the United States. If he can't get to go see a football game that he wants to see, what's the point of being president?
Well,
right?
He may be the only one in the stadium because everyone else will be held up. But you're right. Let's get a couple spots from our sponsors, and we'll be back to the sports program.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908 908- 713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325. You've got a friend.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, celebrant officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the Chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
We're back.
Hey, we are back,
guys.
Huh?
So let's see what's happening.
Talking more sports, Pat?
Yep.
That sounds like a good idea. The Stanley Cup playoffs are on, and right now the Pittsburgh Penguins are up 2-0 on the San Jose Sharks, and they're in San Jose, I think, either tonight or tomorrow night. I apologize. I just don't remember. Plus, coming up for those of you who want to see the America's Cup races, they're having them in Chicago next week, and I encourage people to watch if you have even the slightest curiosity, because I watched last week when they were 2 weeks ago rather when they were racing in New York Harbor, and usually it's very hard to follow who's winning, who's ahead, and why. But the networks have managed, between the graphics that they superimpose on the water and the information that they put on the screen about each of the racing boats, you really begin to get a good understanding of just what a sailboat race is about, particularly the cutting-edge technology that's used in America's Cup racing boats now. Remember, these are all multi-hull catamaran-type boats, and all of the latest and greatest equipment is being tested before it filters down to those of us who are sailor wannabes.
Well, listen, let me ask you, because I think a lot of us don't know anything about the America's Cup. So let's assume we want to watch. What should we look for?
Well, it's interesting. You should be looking for two things. The first is how the sails are adjusted relative to what angle they are relative to the front of the boat. The second thing is you should be watching the people who are on the boat and watching what they are doing and why. Because strangely enough, the boat that looks like it's ahead may not really be ahead because there are tactics. People sometimes will try to steal each other's wind. So if you can get to windward of the boat, of another boat, you speed up and they slow down. Because the closer you get to where the wind is coming from, the faster you go. Plus, you just put the other guy in your wind shadow, so he has to slow down.
Well, let me ask you something else. Are they using the same boats? I'm assuming this in Chicago. It's in Lake Michigan.
Yes.
Do they use the same boats in New York Harbor that they would use in Lake Michigan? I would think that would be very different sailing.
That would. That's what I understand. They're exactly the same boats. They all race the same type of boat. And they very carefully control the equipment so that the only factor that's a variable is the crew.
Really?
It's
that's
all
interesting.
About the skill of the crew. The boats, although they'll have different advertising because of different sponsors, every boat is essentially the same. If you strip them all of advertising or manufacturers' names, say like Harkin, who makes a lot of the winches and other mm-hmm. equipment for people who like to sail, what you're going to see is you've got essentially the same boat over and over and over again.
So that's unlike car racing, for example.
I mean, the cars are very
different, at least the people who are building them, they're very different.
The graphics are excellent. They really let you understand. In one of the races in New York Harbor, the boat that's sponsored by, I think, Emirates Airlines had crossed the start line too fast, so they ended up with a penalty. They had to do a penalty lap around one of the marks to slow them down and make up for the crossing the start line too quickly before the gun went off to signal the start.
But that must be hard to... I mean, it's not like putting horses on a track and they all start, you know, or have the opportunity to start at the same time.
No, remember,
I mean, how do they do that with boats? I mean,
you've got to time it.
It's all part of it.
Before the race starts, you're going in circles, and you're looking at your watch. You're counting down the seconds until you can start crossing that start line. So what happens is that Emirates has to do the penalty lap around one of the moorings or one of the moored markers in the race course. They manage to get a good angle on the wind, and they actually won the race. They won in a field of eight. So, the heat was pretty good. So what I'm seeing is that when you have this kind of competition, you really learn all sorts of things. My take is that when you begin to watch sports like this, and it is something of an oddball sport for a lot of people. I mean, it's neat to watch and kind of get a feel for it, even if you never do it. But being on the water is wonderful. Watching these races is always fun as well. Pat, it's getting near 6 o'clock. We're going to have a nice day tomorrow from what I hear.
Well, and tomorrow, once again, anybody listening out there, remember it's Community Day. It's at the County Fairgrounds at South County Park, which is right as you're going down 31 to 02. You don't turn on 31 It's right 179 as you going south off of 202 towards 179, which is right there. It's Ringo's, but get off south. Don't get off north to go to Ringo's. Get off south. County Fairgrounds, food, music. There's going to be a reptile show, Bill. So
what kind of a show?
3 and 5, a reptile show.
Reptile
show. So, and then live music, 2:30 to 5:30 with the British Invasion, which is a tribute band to the Beatles. And, you know, lots of...